You're listening to episode 316 of Women Worldwide. When you think about your work, how much of what you do and what you create promotes social and environmental sustainability? I've got a guest today who has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for showing up and for being here wherever you are in this world. We appreciate you. You're sharing the stories of our guests. And you're also sharing how you're doing and how you're feeling, which helps us to line up the topics, the stories, the guests, and the advice for you. Well, let's get to today's topic, which is innovation, but we're going to look at it from the socially and environmentally sustainable side of work. And the guest I have today can certainly speak to this topic. Joining me on the show is Sharon Kevel. And Sharon is the founder and CEO of 40 Goods, which is a Milwaukee-based company. And it's the first furniture company that has lockable drawers that safely and securely stores cannabis products. Now, Sharon was an interior designer for over a decade, and then she shifted to become an entrepreneur. She took her talent, her passion, and her purpose because she wanted to build a company that she could be proud of, one that is socially and environmentally sustainable, but also meaningful and family supporting. I could go on and on about Sharon, but I think it's time that she shares her journey and advice with you. So Sharon, welcome. Welcome to Women Worldwide.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, well, me too. Did I get everything straight?
Yeah. It was a great introduction. Thank you.
Well, good, good. And I always start off just so that you can share a little bit about that transition from interior designer over to building this company that really is a first in your market.
Yeah. I have always thought that sustainability, you know, it's always been something that's been important to me. Although, I haven't necessarily been living the most sustainable lifestyle, you know, up until more recently. But finally getting pregnant in 2014 really kind of changed everything, as it does for a lot of women.
Absolutely.
And and it just basically, you know, I decided that I wanted to, you know, do better for her and for future generations. And that's when I really started to get a little bit more serious about bringing my work life and my personal values kind of more in alignment. I started off as an interior designer and I did that for about a decade. And then I moved into product design and I started designing furniture for sale for a retailer, a national retailer. And got to go overseas and learn, you know, the business of how products are made and how they end up in stores here in the US for people to purchase and consume. And, I saw some things that maybe just didn't really feel right in terms of sustainability and in terms of, how other people are, you know, the people who make our products are treated. And so I decided that I wanted to kind of build a product line and a business that, you know, I could be proud of and feel good about putting out into the market.
That is really good. I mean, I hear a lot of stories. You see things that happen and that creates this need for change, that you want to do something to make it better. And I wonder, how hard was it to to introduce this to the market. It is a first. You are the first furniture company. I mentioned the lockable drawers, the cannabis product. Is the market welcoming to this, or is it hard to kind of break through?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. So when we first launched, which was October of last year, you know, during the pandemic, during, you know, right during the U.S. election, you know, that's...
What a time.
Yeah, what a time. But, you know, there were a lot of people. We got a lot of people who were like, this is amazing. Why haven't I thought of this? Thank you for normalizing, you know, cannabis use and safe storage. You know, this is a conversation we should be having. And then there were a few people who, you know, were publicly commenting on our social media, like, why would you bring this product to market? Why is this even necessary? Why, you know, are you promoting drug use among parents and in households with children? And it's like, you know, nobody calls Crate and Barrel or Pottery Barn and says, why are you selling bar carts? Are you promoting alcoholism? You know, why would you build product that's going to promote, you know, an unhealthy lifestyle in people's homes? And I would argue that, you know, alcohol really doesn't have very many health benefits, if any. You know, it's debatable if there are health benefits right at all. And cannabis does have wellness benefits, and it is prescribed medically for people. So, you know, having something that is promoting safe storage, exactly, and also normalizing something, you know, there shouldn't need to be people hiding things in, you know, shoeboxes on shelves or, you know, at the back of closets, or
which is not, you know, safe and
which
not
is not
secure.
safe, right, not secure, and you know, just basically the normalization aspect of it. And when I start breaking it down to people, like, look, you can go on Google right now and type in, you know, bar cart, and there'll be thousands and thousands of, you know, images of product that you can buy today for alcohol, but that just doesn't exist for cannabis. And so just because it's new and hasn't been done before doesn't mean that it's wrong.
Well, that's what it is. It's new and it's never been done. And whenever something is introduced, education is necessary, mindful exactly conversations rather than knee-jerk reactions. Mm-hmm. I think these conversations you have to have, mm-hmm, and it sounds like you're handling them very well. Thank so you. High points and low points. Can you name any? I mean, it's different when you're an interior designer and you're working for other companies, and all of a sudden you're your own company, your own boss. I'm sure you have a team, lots of moving parts.
Yeah.
There's some highs and lows.
Yeah. I mean, I would say one of the lows was definitely like COVID. I mean, that's been a low for everybody for multiple reasons, but launching a, you know, a sustainably made, you know, higher ticket price product in a pandemic when there's so much uncertainty and people are sick and scared, you know, that's been difficult, but also it's been difficult not to be able to, you know, during our part of our launch strategy was to get out and talk to people and demo the product and go around and kind of show it to people. And we really haven't been able to do that in the way that we wanted to. We wanted people to be able to like touch and feel the finishes and, you know, hold our accessories and, you know, basically kick the tires. And we haven't been able to do that, which is unfortunate.
What do you do in this? Are you using video demonstrations?
Video. Yep. We're using video. In fact, I have another day booked tomorrow to do more video, to, you know, do more demonstrations so that we can get more information out there, because, you know, it is a big ticket item and it is an investment. And, you know, people want to be able to see something before they purchase it. And I don't blame them. I would want the same thing. So that's kind of one of the lower points.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm curious, are there trade shows that you normally would go to, and now you're doing virtual trade shows, bringing your product virtually and showcasing it?
We haven't really done any of the virtual trade shows yet. We've, you know, thought about that, but, you know, mm-hmm, we just haven't really, you know, haven't really pulled the trigger on any of them yet. Eventually I would like to be doing some of the, the cannabis related shows and then, get into some of the, interior design related, like the trade design shows as well. So, we have plans for that, but, it's basically just a matter of when is it safe to do so?
Yes. Yeah. So true. So what about some high points?
Sure.
What made you get really excited? Like, oh my gosh, we're so onto something here.
Yeah. So, one was securing investment in the company. So I was fundraising for about a year before we launched the product. Actually, it was a full year before, it was basically all of 2019.
Right.
And, there were a lot of lessons learned and a lot of like kind of rolling with the punches sort of, so to speak. There were a couple of times where I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find someone to, invest in this company. And, after a year of talking to people, finally landing initial investment, like that was definitely, a peak moment. And then, obviously when we made our first sale, that was also a very, a huge win, a really exciting time. So
absolutely.
I've heard people say that whenever you buy from a small business, somebody does, a little happy dance. And that's definitely, I can say that that's true at 40 Goods. Somebody
that's
does
awesome.
A happy dance.
You were doing a happy dance. Excellent. Have you had any big aha moments or even moment that just stuck with you because it was such a learning lesson, whether it was before, during a transition, or even now running your company?
Yeah. I would say my aha moment isn't necessarily tied to business, but more being a woman in business. So, I think we all are sort of conditioned growing up that we don't believe that we're experts in anything. I just believe that we're kind of conditioned, it's rare that women aren't conditioned to kind of give their power away, so to speak, to other people, believing that other people know best or that other people are, more of an expert than maybe we are.
That's like imposter syndrome.
Yeah, it is. It is kind
of
imposter syndrome.
You are the expert, but yeah. You look at others like, oh no, they're the expert.
Yeah. And,
exactly.
I can't remember where I heard it, but I remember reading something somewhere where they had done some kind of study and it was men and women in a room. And they asked everyone, would you be confident? Would you be comfortable speaking as an expert on nursing, on breastfeeding? And there were almost no women who raised their hands. And,
don't tell me the man. Oh.
And there were men who raised their hands. And so at the end, they asked the women, why didn't you raise your hand? You have children, you've nursed yourself. Like, why didn't you raise your hand and say, yeah, I can be, I would be an expert to speak on this. And they were all like, well, I'm not a lactation consultant. I'm not a medical professional. I'm not a, it's the self-selecting that we happen to do. And the men were like, well, I watched my wife do it, with our kids. So I figure, I can talk about it. I can say something about it. And so, I just started like that whole thing, that happened, that women were like keeping their arms down and men were like, yeah, I can speak about this. That blew me away. And, I start to just on a regular basis, remind myself that, I am the person to be starting this company. I have an interior design background. I understand how homes go together, and how, spaces are put together. I, have worked in developing furniture for a national retailer, thousands of products.
Oh my goodness, you're the expert.
And I am the expert. And so why wouldn't I raise my hand and say, I have an idea for this company and I'm the right person to bring it to market. And I know that there are probably, many of your listeners, the majority of your listeners probably, who, if they thought about it, could say the same thing about their own life and their own ideas and their own experiences.
Definitely. And I'm so glad you pointed this out. And the self-talk, what we say to ourselves, really matters. If you are saying, I am the expert and I have years of experience and I've done this and I've worked with thousands versus, oh, I'm not the expert, I've only done this a few times, that makes a difference. and how you're going to present yourself. And what you spoke of with that little research study, it also reminds me of hearing about a statistic where whenever women and men are up for a certain promotion, that men will always rise to the challenge and so much more, even if they only have 60% knowledge of what the position calls for, and women will clearly steer away from that.
And that's unless they have 100% of the qualifications on there. And I actually did that to myself once. And there was a man, a good male friend of mine, who went through the same thing and was like, no, you have this, 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 and this. And he's like, and nobody has everything.
No,
he's like,
that's
stop. He's like, do not self-select. You will get this job. And I did get that job. And that was the job that I got at Kohl's. And, you know, I was like, oh, this job is too big for me. And he's like, absolutely not. And you know what? When I got there, it wasn't too big for me. So, you know, sometimes it really is about, you know, women self-selecting and saying, you know what, I'm going to put my hand down and I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to throw my hat in the ring because I'm not sure if I'm going to be successful. And I do think that there is something to that. You know, a lot of women are expected, and I saw this firsthand, you know, working a corporate job, women are expected to be doing 100% of the job before they're kind of put, you know, moved up into a position.
Right.
Whereas men, there is some sort of belief that men will rise to the challenge. And, you know, I think that as women in corporate environments, you know, and I did this, you know, myself, we need to be challenging that behavior and that thought process when it comes time for other women to be up for promotions and to be, you know, moving up. They don't need to be at 100%. They will rise to the challenge just as men will.
Absolutely. That is grit at its best. Making, you know, taking, you might not have all the skills, but taking those skills, it's not just talent and what you know, it's the skills and the effort that gets you to achievement. And this is definitely Angela Duckworth and her book.
Yeah, for sure.
Right now reading. So yes, it is seeing things differently. So it's really interesting that you pointed that out. What about your focus with so many moving parts? What keeps you focused and motivated every single day?
Yeah, for sure. In a word, success. So I spend a lot of time visualizing what success not only looks like, but what it feels like. And it's not just a monetary thing. It is, you know, it is like just even all of like the little step goals to get me to, you know, a bigger goal, so to speak. So like, as an example, you know, I thought about what it was going to, I spent a lot of time visualizing how great it was going to feel to launch the website and to have, you know, the product line like up, you know, on the web and what it was going to look like and how amazing that was going to feel. And, you know, when I launched the product line, and when we turned that website on, you know, it felt great. You know, I visualized that first sale and how great and how like how sweet that was gonna feel. And you know, each of those milestones felt even sweeter, like in real life. So having that visualization of like different success points along the journey, and you know, internalizing it and feeling like, how is this going to feel? How am I going to feel? How good is this going to feel when it happens? And kind of using that. And then, you know, as you start to experience and reach some of these goals and it feels even better in, you know, in real life as it's happening. Yeah. It just, it pushes you forward, and it kind of like is this building. It has this sort of building effect.
That's amazing. What you're speaking to, this notion, I mean, we're all vibration. Mm-hmm. And if you can be intentional and visualize ahead that feeling, that happiness, that joy, whatever it is, you are creating that for the next segment.
Yes, exactly.
You're going to be experiencing very segment intending, I guess you could say.
Exactly.
Very cool. And it is, I think sometimes even younger professionals that I speak with are just so quick to get to goal that that yes. they forget the process. And you mentioned the smaller steps and goals along the way. They're really important.
Yeah, they are.
Being a part of that and being present is really amazing. It's an amazing feeling.
Yeah. You know, and just to kind of add on to that, just a real quick little bit is if you think about it in terms of vacation, they always talk about the vacation effect. When you plan a vacation, you know, let's say you're planning a vacation for, you know, the Thanksgiving holiday. So it's months away. You know, you get a happiness benefit out of, you know, thinking about that vacation as much as you do, you know, actually being on the vacation. So they're always talking about, you know, if you want to get the best bang for your vacation dollar, plan your vacations in advance. And while you're on vacation, plan what your next vacation is going to be, or, you know, have something else that you're looking forward to. And I think having those like small breaking, you know, broken down steps of, you know, something always that you're looking forward to and that you're thinking of, so that you can enjoy the journey and not just the destination of actually, you know, being on vacation or being successful.
That is a really great point. I think that I know personally, I benefit, and even my family, mm-hmm. when we are thinking ahead about what is that next, always yeah. something to look forward to yeah. and to get excited about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as you said, it's a build. And you're exactly. creating excitement. And then as you're getting excited, you're creating more excitement for what's exactly. next to come. But always enjoying mm-hmm. and being present where you are and what you're doing and not skipping
yes.
that moment. Like I just recently explained to somebody how I used to be out on social media in a beautiful moment taking photos, but more getting frustrated about getting the photo the right way and then the, yes. you know, the description and what hashtags are you using. And then I realized, whoa, I am so missing
yeah.
this moment. And yes. when you can think of it that way, you can be more in the moment. And it's so much better. Talk about happiness levels.
I agree.
So how about, I can hardly believe we're at this point, but maybe you could share a little bit of maybe some parting advice with our listeners and people who are watching so that they can get to a place of innovation, creating what they would be proud of, socially or environmentally sustainable. What would you say to them?
Yeah, you know, I would say dream big, like just big. And you know, there is really no limit to, you know, how big you can take or how big you can dream, you know, what your goals are. But, you know, be willing to put the work in. You know, there's so much out there right now about, you know, quit your 9-to-5 and, you know, jump feet first into, you know, entrepreneurship. You know, it's not that simple. And, you know, jumping feet first into entrepreneurship isn't necessarily going to pay the bills. So, you know, dream really big, but, you know, be willing to put the work in, you know, and also like, don't sell yourself short. So people have come to me, you know, the product line has not been out there that long. It's still, you know, it's still a baby or a small child, you know, in terms of its growth and you know, where it's at. And, you know, a lot of people have asked me to make a cheaper product to, you know, get rid of, you know, our environmental,
higher standards.
Yeah. Standards to get rid of, you know, to maximize our profit, to, you know, make our furniture overseas, to, you know, basically just do what everybody else does. And, you know, that's not why I started this company. That's not why I started 40 Goods. And so, you know, just getting really clear and knowing what you're willing and unwilling to do, so that you're not selling yourself out along the way. Regular check-ins, you know, spend a lot of time meditating and visualizing what it is yeah. that you want. But, you know, meditating and visualizing alone are not going to get you where you need to go. You need to be willing to put the work in. And be honest with yourself about that.
Yeah, I mean, that is great advice, from the dream big to the meditating, the visualization, to put the work in, the check-ins, all of that helps so much with what you're trying to achieve. Well, Sharon, thank you so much. Where can people find out more about you and 40 Goods?
Sure. So you can check out our website at www.40goods.com, and that's FORTIGoods.com. And in most places in social media, our handle is at 40 Goods.
Excellent. And are you out there? Are you either on LinkedIn or
Twitter? Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn with Sharon Kevel. And I'm also on social media as well. People can find me out there and follow along if they wish. I'm not as active on social media personally as I am professionally.
Awesome. Well, it's good that you're out there. And thank you again for sharing your journey, what you're doing, and for also sharing really good advice. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been wonderful.
Thank you. I really enjoyed chatting with you. So thank you. And a big thank you to all of you for tuning in, for always showing up, for being here, for keeping the conversations going and the feedback coming. And you know where you can find me. I'm on Twitter at Dee Breckenridge, or connect with me on LinkedIn. And you know what I always say, folks, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feel empowered. Thank you.